I'm here live at, what's the name of this park?
Geller Park,
watching the Life Change Church softball team, a league of their own. It's been a great day. And,
well, we got our first hit from Chandler. It's a foul ball.
But coming to you live for weekly announcements.
Hi, Life Change. I'm Kayla Nilo, and I volunteer in student life and in kids life. Please join us here at Wildwood Park at 9:30 a.m. this Wednesday to walk in the 4th of July parade. We'll be passing out discs and candy and sharing the love of Jesus. We hope you join us.
Hi, I'm Vicki.
I'm Georgia.
Next month, on July 28th, we'll be serving a community dinner at Florey Park.
Sign-up sheets are at the Connect desk. Make sure you get signed up.
Hey guys, Pastor Corbin here, and I'm at Florey Park at the creek here, actually Raccoon Creek, where we will be doing baptisms July 29th. If you are interested, if you've never been baptized before or you want to be baptized outdoors, you can contact me, Corbin Huffman, corbin.huffman@gmail.com for our outdoor baptisms and picnic July 29th at 10:30, and there will be no 9 a.m. service that day. 10:30, baptism service, picnic, bring a side, and bring a chair. See you there.
This is Batman. Catch us for the One Child Matters sponsor service at 7:22.
My story, this is my song.
All right, well, hey, welcome to Life Change Church, and we are pumped as we go into July. And July did smack us right in the face with the heat, so hopefully you enjoy the air conditioning. We tried to turn down just a little extra for you today, but we've got a lot of stuff planned. And I would just remind you, this Wednesday, the 4th of July, we have our parade in Granville, so make sure you show up there at 9:30. I'll tell you this, we won't start walking till 11, but they will close off the parking at 9:30. So you need to be there at 9:30, and then we're going to hang out for an hour and a half and have some fun all together. So 9:30 at Wildwood Park in Granville this Wednesday. So hey, I'm excited for today because we are jumping into a brand new series as well. We are starting our summer series, which we've entitled Stories. And what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is we're going to hear some incredible stories of people within this church, stories of really just a faith and stories of how really it goes beyond themselves and how they do some incredible things. And again, this is all leading up to our July 22nd service, which is the One Child Matters sponsorship. This will be for both the first service and the second service. But what we're going to do is obviously we're learning about how our stories go beyond ourselves. We're going to go through and we're actually going to give you some application of how your story can go beyond yourself as well. And we're going to partner with this ministry, One Child Matters, which is an international ministry where we are going to partner with kids throughout the world, and we're going to partner with them and really meet needs, spiritual needs, and even physical needs as well. So just a little more information on that, you can check out this video, and then I'll be back up. So check
I
out.
Am one child. I don't have a lot. The world doesn't notice me. I should feel hopeless and alone. But I don't. Because I'm learning who I was born to be. I know I've been created for great things. I'm helping change my family and my nation. My future is full of potential. My dreams are within reach. Thanks to my sponsor, I know the truth. I'm not hopeless. I'm not alone. I am seen. I have a voice. I can change everything. I am one child, and one child matters.
Well, hey, I'm super pumped up about this, and I'll tell you what, we are actually partnering with a center in the Dominican Republic. So July 22nd, make sure you're here and see how you can sponsor and partner with a child in Dominican Republic. And I'll tell you this, in 2019, our goal is to actually do a church missions trip where we actually be going to that center. We're actually going to be going to the Dominican Republic. And you could even get a chance to meet your child face-to-face, right? So just an incredible opportunity. And the truth is, it's a way for us to realize that our story isn't ours. And really, that's the big idea throughout this entire series is this, is that our stories go beyond ourselves, right? That's what I want you to walk away at the end of the series. I want you to understand that our stories go beyond ourselves. In fact, if we call ourselves a Christian, if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, we're called to do this, right? This is a command. This is even what Jesus stated that we need to do. In fact, Jesus summarizes really a lot of the Bible. He summarizes the law. He summarizes a lot of the principles in the Old Testament with this one command here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 12. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. This will be the memory verse, if you will, for this series. So I challenge you to even write this down. Commit it to memory. Learn it. And not only learn it, but actually live by it. Apply it to your lives as well. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. And if you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app, just an incredible resource to put on your phone. That way you read your Bible every single day. And there is reading plans, there's devotionals on there. And I want to challenge you, read your Bible every single day. Don't just open it up on a Sunday. Don't just expect me to be the one that's going to show you some truths in the Bible, but find them for yourselves, right? If you're just waiting for Sundays, you're going to go hungry. So read your Bible every single day, and the Bible app is an incredible way to do that. But this passage of Scripture, Matthew 7, here's Jesus, and he's preaching what's known as his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he's been preaching for a while here, so what he's doing is coming to the conclusion of this sermon. He's beginning to wrap it up. He's beginning to kind of summarize it. And he's saying, you know what? This is everything kind of wrapped into one. And verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 12 says this. It says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. In everything we do, right? In everything we do to others what we would have them do to us. Meaning that we're allowing our stories, meaning that we're allowing parts of our life to go beyond ourselves, to go beyond really who we are and just in our inner circles, but to go beyond that and to treat others and to even love others the way we would want to be loved. Right? This is a famous passage of Scripture. This is just a famous rule. Like, we've heard this growing up, right? I remember growing up in elementary school, this was actually put on the wall of our school. And this was a public school, but this was put on the wall. It's known as the golden rule. And we've learned it from when we're little. But when we apply it, what happens is that God uses it. And God uses us and he uses our story to reach others and to affect others for him. So we need to understand that our stories go beyond ourselves. So over the next few weeks, we're going to hear some incredible stories and some incredible examples of this as well. And today we have the awesome privilege and honor to hear the story of both Tony and Carolyn McAllister. So if you would, let's give them just a big life change welcome for Tony and Carolyn. All right. Well, hey guys, I'm super excited you're here. Now, I've got to know you, and now it's a chance for the church to get to know you a little more, as I know many of you probably do, but I will tell you this, and we said this before, this is just kind of like when we go through these stories, we're only getting just a little glimpse, right? This is just like the tip of the iceberg. So I would challenge you, and if something resonates or if you kind of connect with their story a little bit, I would challenge you to connect with them more, maybe even take them out to dinner, out to lunch, or spend some time with them to get to know them more. But there's some exciting stuff in your story. So let's just start off. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves, maybe how you grew up, how you met, and a little bit about your family as well.
I grew up in Newark. In 1979, my parents were finally privileged enough to purchase their first home. And lo and behold, our home sat between Tony's two sisters. And on the other side of the sister also was his parents' home. So that's how we met.
Well, like I said, she moved there, and she was like 15 years old. I was always smitten with her from the first time that I saw her. And Anyway, you know, back then I was an alcoholic, drug addict, and I got in a little trouble and did a couple of years stint in the institution. You know, and when I was there, she continued to write me and have faith in me. So when I got out, you know, she was getting ready to turn 18. I said, "Well, you know, you're the one for me." And that was in 1982, and here we are almost 36 years later. So,
yeah. Thank you. 36 years of marriage, and I'm guessing it was super easy all 36 years, right? No, of course not. So maybe share, let's share a little bit about your family first, and then we'll talk a little bit some of the bumps in the road along the 36 years of marriage. But so married 36 years, and then have some family, some grandkids, and some kids too, right?
We have an awesome son, TJ. He's 34. We also have a 30-year-old daughter. She's pretty awesome too. I have three beautiful grandchildren. Couldn't be more prouder of. To say the least, life has not been easy. First 19 years of our marriage has been lots of ups and downs, lots and lots of them. In 2009, I decided I was done. My kids were raised. I thought God wanted me to go another direction. And lo and behold, he knew I was stubborn, so he gave me something really big to just kind of put me in my place and to test my faith. But I held strong. Tony was diagnosed with lung cancer. I wasn't going to leave him then. I had to stick it out. I couldn't leave him alone. The hospital recognized as well that there was problems. There was big problems. They introduced us to a counselor. He knew we loved each other very much. I didn't see it at that point, but God knew we loved each other. Mm-hmm. I still see the look on the doctor's face that day when he told me Tony had a 50% chance of surviving this surgery. He's here. We survived.
Yeah.
Then they told me that he'd never make it through the chemo and the radiation. And I questioned it a little bit, but I said, "God, you got this. We're going to get through it." And here we are today, by the grace of God. Not once, but twice. He's had cancer twice, and we have survived it both times.
Yeah, that's it.
Some people do know him, though. So let's share with me a little bit how God kind of worked even before that. So there's some bumps in the road, but maybe we'll start off, maybe Karen, share a little bit about your spiritual background, and then we'll jump into Tony's and how maybe God showed up a couple of times here. So,
For me, my mother took us to church on Sundays as often as she could, but my dad did not make that a pleasant experience. So we didn't go all the time, but Mom took us as much as she could. She always made sure that we knew that God loved us no matter what. She prayed with us as often as she could. And I remember the day my mom was baptized. I never will forget that day. It was the most peaceful day for my mother ever. I was pretty young, but I do remember it. And she made sure that we always knew that there was a higher power that would protect us and that God would always love us no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, you know, we didn't go to church very often. My grandfather was a Baptist minister, and that's the only time we'd go to church once a year when he would show up. My mom and dad would pretend that they were Christians and, you know, praying at the table and everything. That's the only time we ever prayed. But I was like 10 years old when a minister was making his rounds around my neighborhood, and he sat me down in a lawn chair and asked me if I knew God, you know, which back then I didn't, but he prayed with me and asked God to save me. You know, at 10 years old, you don't really understand that, but that planted my lifelong thoughts of Jesus. I come from a family of alcoholics. So that's what I was raised up in, and God's always brought me back from the alcoholism to where I am today. So,
share with me, I know we were talking before and you had a couple stories of how God kind of intervened even in those moments.
He did.
As well. So.
I was on a bender one time. I used to go from here to Chicago. I had friends there, childhood friends. So I'd get drunk and say, I'll go see my buddies. And me and her had a pretty good fight. And she was sleeping. I broke in the house and took the car keys and took all her money. Not proud of it. But anyway, I drove and I stopped in Indianapolis to get more beer. And I went in, the lady wouldn't sell it to me. You know, she said, I look like death warmed over, and I didn't need it anymore. So anyway, I went out and I got my car, and this complete stranger, a black woman, just jumped in my car. And I had a big knife laying there. She says, you're not going to use that knife on yourself, are you? And I said, no, I just have it, you know. He says, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I left my wife and kids, and I'm just headed to Chicago. And, you know, she said, well, she asked me if she could pray with me. And what she did, she prayed and said, you know, you need to just turn around and go home to your family. And exactly that's what I did. You know, God jumped in and said, sober up, get your butt home. So, you know, I did. And there was one other time. My last time of drinking back in August of 2009, just before I got my cancer diagnosis, God knew that if I didn't quit drinking, I would just keep ignoring my symptoms, you know, and I probably would have died. So, it wasn't my time right then. Anyway, long story short, we went to this 3-day event, and I got to drinking, and they said, well, you got enough. I've had enough beer. I said, no, I haven't. They wouldn't give me no more. So I said, well, I'm going to take off walking. It was a day like today. I was 40 miles from home. And I'm walking. And I'm to the point where I was just going to lay in the highway and wait for an ambulance to come pick me up. And just at the exact time, I won't stop. With a little child in the back of the car and picked me up. Took me all the way to my destination. So, good Lord just always has the right timing.
And you know, God intervenes in situations and,
he does.
And through life as well. So that's a part of your story, and I think God's always been a part of that as well. But then God kind of has used you in other ways as well. So maybe share a little bit of kind of what God has done and kind of taking to you in the next phase.
I had a relative member who needed some help, and they called and asked me if I'd take her youngest son, and if we could help her out. So we did what they call family placement. That opened our eyes. That gave Tony, we kind of wondered why God left him here, because we've lost a lot of close friends. But I think Tony figured that out. We took the little fella in and we helped him out. We helped mom. We're still very involved with him today. Tony looked at me and when it was time for him to go home 8 months later, he said, I think God left me here to help kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think he left me here to make right. I didn't do so well with my own children. So upon his request, we did the foster parent application and we became foster parents. Let's give Tony the opportunity to redo and to make right what we didn't do perfect in our own children's lives. I think he has more than done that. He's very good with our foster kids, and he tries very hard to make right the wrongs that happened during our children's childhood.
Yeah, so I... Like I said, we've been very fortunate to raise these children, and my own son has actually found it in his heart to forgive me. And that means more to me than anything. You know, God is good. He's given us this second chance to be the people we should have been all along. But, you know, I'm living proof that it, God never gives up on you. So, yeah.
Our God is definitely a God of second chances. It's just incredible. And I know you said over and over, it's by grace that we're here. It's by God's grace that we're here. So I love just the spiritual journey. And I think everybody's spiritual journey is different, but we all go through a journey. There's all things that God takes us through, whether they're bumps in the road, whether they're struggles that we have. But God's got people and in the places there, He's got everything set for us there. So I love how even God used other people's story in you, Tony, even just to reach out. Just ladies driving along the road who picked you up, were willing to pray for you, willing to take a knife from you, but willing to take you back home and just made a difference and gave you the second chance.
Yeah, God put that lady in my car, you know. If I was a lady and I see a strange man, a knife, I wouldn't get in his car.
That's called Holy Spirit, and only Holy Spirit and God power right there. Yeah. So really, I think other people's stories reached out and affected you guys. Now your story has gone beyond yourself and reaching others as well, and through fostering kids as well. So maybe tell us some the greatest moments that you guys had as foster parents, and how God has used you since then.
Well, since we did decided to do the foster parenting. We've had 16 children. Now, we've only been at this a little less than 4 years. 16 children passed through our door. Some of those kids have gone home because parents, by the grace of God, figured out they needed to change some things up and so the children could get home. Some of the positive things that have come from this, we had a little fella who didn't know what a pencil was, let alone how to use it. He only did kindergarten once, though. We're going on to first grade. We have caught him up. We had a young man come to our house at 17. By the way, I said I didn't want teenagers. He turned 18 a week later. I kind of knew his goal was to drop out of school because nobody else in his bio family had ever graduated. And I said to him, if you want to live in my home, we need to get the job done. He informed me he was going to graduate in 2020. Well, needless to say, he graduated in 2016, just like he was supposed to.
Yeah.
It was a lot of hard work, and by the grace of God, he got me through that with those children. Tony sitting at the table countless hours. We've had kids who didn't know what meat was, maybe a hamburger or a hot dog. Don't know what a family meal is. We all sit down at the table to eat dinner, and they're like, everybody sits here? We all sit together and we eat dinner. A lot of the kids will say, I don't like that. One bite, that's all I ask, one bite. I've yet to have a kid turn away a meal. They're pretty happy with it. And to know that these kids love their bio family, that's the important part. You have to remember that. We've been lucky enough that we get to keep one forever. That's the awesome part of the job. The bad part of the job is I know that each one of these kids, when they come through our home, that we must love them. And God gives us the strength to love each and every one of them special. But I also know that at the end of the time, if the parents are doing what they need to, those kids are going home. I have to give my babies back. That's the hard part. But I'll tell you, you'll never will you do a more rewarding job than being a foster parent. You take a child in that's not yours, but by golly, let me just tell you, in about 3 hours' time after a bath and they've had something good to eat, they're yours.
Yeah.
They're yours.
Yeah, we didn't really want to get in the teenagers, but like I said, we've had two of them, and they've turned out to be some of the best people that know. We could have known. So, from the little ones all the way up, they all need your love, you know, and if you treat them with respect, you usually get the respect back. So
through it all, what are some things that you've learned from your story and how it affects others?
For me, I had to learn the hard way, and I'm pretty strong-headed, and God knows that. But by God's grace, prayer, faith, and know that He truly has this, no matter how hard it is, you will get through it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it means. Like I said, I've lived a pretty rough life, and like I said, God keeps taking me back, and He'll take you back. If I had to think about my past, I couldn't do it, you know, without the Lord. So just know that God will take you back, and He loves you.
A bunch of bumps in the roads, ups and downs, mm-hmm. but we'll end with maybe a verse or a thought that you kind of just held on to get you through both the bumps in the roads, the goods, the downs, the bads, the uglies, all the sorts of things, right? So maybe share a verse that kind of kept you going through.
For me, it's Matthew 3:16, and that being because Mom couldn't take us to church every Sunday because, like I said, Dad did not make that pleasant. So when I got old enough to start questioning things, I said, Mom, if you don't take us to church, I'm not going to get to go to heaven. And that stuck with me. I don't know why. That just stuck with me. And she always said to us that whosoever believeth in God or believeth in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. So that gave me comfort knowing that if I couldn't go to church every Sunday, I still will make it to heaven. And I tried very hard to instill that in my children, even though we didn't take them to church every Sunday like we should have. We fell short. We fell way short. I made sure they went to Bible school every Sunday, attended every Bible school program. And Lord knows there was times that Tony should have never walked in that church, but he did. He was right there to see his kids perform. And our son was a loudest singer, by the way, I left that out. You heard him above all the other children. Yeah. But that's something that I tried to instill in my kids, and everybody needs to remember that no matter what, you will get to heaven. You just have to believe in God.
One of my favorite verses is from Revelations. It's 3:20, and it's the one that says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. You know, it just shows that the Lord is always there knocking on the door, waiting for you to come in. And so if you invite Him in, He'll be there. So He's always there for you.
Well, no, part of one of your stories too, so even those verses was talking about inviting Christ in, following Him, making a commitment to Him. I know for some of you, even your story has gone beyond to your foster kids, who again went back to their homes, and like that's the win, is going back into their own families. But they went back in different, because you were telling me they even brought Jesus back into those families too, right?
Yes, a lot of our kids do not know who God is. They've never heard of Jesus. They just don't know. So we've been privileged enough to introduce Christ into their lives, and I've ran into two families now in stores that tell me they take that child to church because that child will not give up. I want to go to Sunday school. So that's the other plus. Not only are we working through the children, but the children that will accept God, will accept Christ, and accept that way of life, they're taking that back home with them. And hopefully we can change more families as well, get more people to understand that without God, the light's not very bright, but if you just have faith, anything's possible.
Yeah.
And we're living proof of that. For right. 6 years.
The good stuff. So I love it. So I love you guys' story. I just want to thank you guys for being transparent, for coming up here and sharing your story as well. So, and as a church family, we are a family, so we all have stories, and they go beyond ourselves, so we need to be sharing our stories with each other. We need to be encouraging each other each and every day. We need to be walking with each other through parts of our story as well, and even praying with each other as well. So before you guys leave the stage here, I want to definitely pray over you guys. So is there, maybe just ask, is there anything specific that we can pray for you as a church to partner with you as well?
I need you to pray for people with addiction. My daughter is a heroin addict. And she needs a prayer. She's really bad with it. I just need my little girl back.
I know we said this before, but God's the God of second chances, and God's the God that will hold on to His children.
I have faith that He'll come in, He'll stay for it.
He proved it to you already. He's going to prove it to you,
yep,
to you again for your daughter as well. So we'll definitely be praying.
Yeah.
Well, if you would, at your seat, maybe just extend your hand out and let's pray for the McAllisters. Dearly Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you for Tony. We thank you for Carolyn. We thank you for TJ. We thank you for Teresa. We thank you for the whole McAllister clan. God, we just thank you for each and every one of them. We just thank you for their transparency, their vulnerability, God, up here as they share their story. And God, we thank you for each and every part of their story because you were able to prove yourself faithful in every part of that, God. And God, we know that you will continue to prove yourself faithful as well. God, we pray for both Tony and Carolyn as they continue to foster children, God, as they continue to bring kids in their home. God, we pray that your love is what overflows in their home so that these kids walk away different, walk into their homes and their biological families knowing that there's something real, there's something more to this world, and it's Jesus, and that the power of Jesus can overcome all. God, and we just thank you for them being willing to share that and to use their story to share that. And we pray that you'll just put a blessing over their family, just to cover their family, each and every one of them, God, and help them draw closer and closer to you and closer together. And God, we pray specifically for Teresa right now, God. God, we know, God, that you are bigger than any addiction. You've proven it to the McAllisters already. You've proven it in Tony's life already, God. And right now, we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray against any spirit of addiction. We pray against anything that holds her down, God. God, set her free in the name of Jesus so that she can walk with you, God. And God, we already know it and we believe it, that you are going to work in and through that situation and you will help Teresa, God. And there's proof right here in Tony already, God, that you are greater than any addiction. And we just thank you right now and we praise you for what you're going to do. And God, again, we just thank you for this church family. We thank you for the families that we can come together to share our stories and do life together. God, we love you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, let's give the McAllisters a round of applause. Thank you guys for sharing your story. Man, what an incredible story, right? I love the McAllisters. I love their story. It's inspirational. And if you spend any time with them, man, they are just an inspiration as well. So I would challenge you to connect with them more. And again, their story is great because I think we all can relate to it. We can relate to that story. We've all gone through some struggles in our lives. We've all gone through some bumps. We've all gone through some times where things just weren't great. We've gone through times where we even made mistakes and things we regret. But God still uses each and every part of our stories, just like He did the McAllisters. Imagine if in our lives, what if we actually overcame those obstacles and continued on and moved forward and allowed God to use every part of it. Every part of it, so that we could have a story where we could be plugging into others and allowing families to be changed because we were willing to share our story. What if we were allowed to continue through to even so that there's restoration and even forgiveness within our own family, right? Some incredible things, and it happens when we continue on and when we realize that our stories go beyond ourselves. When we realize that we're called to do to others what we would have them do to us. So today, before we close, I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you with some application points just to help others, in your story, to help others. And just a quick acronym for the word help, I'm going to give you 4 points that you can walk out and say, this is what I'm going to do this week. And the H is for our hands. Listen, we all have something that we can do, right? We all have our hands that we're able to give and to serve others with. For the McAllisters, it's room, right? They have room in their house, so they open up their rooms so that others can come in. So for some of us, maybe we have skills, maybe we have certain abilities, maybe we have certain talents, maybe there's certain things we can do, but we have to be willing to extend our hands and to serve others in that aspect. We have to be willing to help, and it starts with our hands. Then the E stands for experiences. See, a lot of times we experience certain things for a reason. There's a lot of times we go through certain things so that we can get to something else. There's sometimes we go through certain things that we can help others to get to something. I don't want to challenge you. Use your experiences. For many of us, we probably have experiences that we regret. We probably have some experiences that, man, that maybe we don't necessarily aren't too proud of or too fond of. And we try to hide those. But you know what? God allowed us to go through that. God wants us to use those experiences to reach others. God wants us to use those experiences so that we can help others. There's somebody that may be going through something that you went through in the past, and they're sitting here feeling alone and feeling completely helpless, but all they need to know is that somebody else experienced it. Somebody else got through it. If they got through it, then they can too. I want to challenge you to use your experiences. Again, on the opposite side of the spectrum, some of us, we've experienced some amazing things. We've experienced some great things. And we need to give God the credit for those. We need to praise Him. And we need to point people back to God through those experiences, saying, you know what? God allowed this to happen in my life, and it was for the good, because God is for us. And He wants to work all things good for us if we follow Him. So we need to use our experiences. And then the L stands for look. Look around. See the need. In our lives, there's needs all around us. But are we willing to look? Are we willing to open our eyes to see the need and then to do something about it? Right? We need to look around. And then the P stands for provide or provision. God's entrusted us with multiple things, whether it's extra time, whether it's even finances. Are we willing to give that back to God? Are we willing to give that back to others and provide for others? Because if our stories are going to go beyond ourselves, we need to help others. Right? We need to help others. And we need to allow God to work in and through us. Do to others what we would have them do to us. And the truth is, it's by the grace of God that we're all here. Carolyn said it over and over again. It's by the grace of God that we're here and that God allows our stories to affect others. And I love it. She's referred to John 3:16. It says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that none shall perish. Listen, we're called to let others know that none shall perish, and to share the love of Jesus. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to understand that your story goes beyond yourself. You would take out your response card from the seat back in front of you. Maybe you're here today. Maybe as you hear these stories, you're thinking, you know what? My story hasn't really began. Because the truth is, our story begins when we allow Christ in our life. Our story begins when we accept that fact that God gave His only Son for us. When we accept that He's our Savior, and we accept that and follow Him and commit completely to Him. So if you're here today and you've never made that commitment, or maybe you did, but you walked away, so I don't want you to leave without giving you the opportunity to make that commitment. So if you're here today and you want to make a commitment to follow Christ, on that response card, what I want you to do is I want you to check mark that first box that says, I want to follow Jesus. I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. If that's you, check mark that box. And then believe that God gave His Son for you to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty that we all deserve, but to be risen again to give us new life. If that's you, check mark that box. Maybe here today, maybe God's asking you to do something. Maybe for years you've had a story, you've gone through something, but God's saying, you know what, it's time to share it, to connect with others, to give others hope, right? To let that affect others. Maybe for you, maybe you need to use your hands and to serve somebody in some way. Somebody in some way. Do it, right? Maybe for you it's an experience that you need to share. Maybe for you just need to look around. Maybe you've already looked around and you know the need. Listen, I want to challenge you to write it down and then do something about it. Provide. Be that provision for somebody else. Allow God to work in and through you. Whatever God's asking you to do, write that down. And there's also a place for prayer requests as well. We want to partner with you in prayer. So if you would, take this moment to fill out that response card. And again, we take these seriously. I look over these. I want to partner with you. I pray over these prayer requests as well. So we want you to fill this out. If you're a first-time guest, fill it out completely. If you've been here multiple times, just fill out your name and your prayer request. That way we know how we can partner with you. But if you would, take this moment to fill that out. And then to also to get any tithes or offerings ready. And I'll be up in just a moment to explain the next step.